terrible. I think it was, let's see, Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. 50 degrees, raining, and high winds. That was brutal. And the Red Sox still played at Fenway. The 35,000 fans sitting in those seats, boy, my heart went out to them. I drove a bunch of them to the game. And man, oh man, that's faithfulness. You know, these people, you know, they pay all this money to go see the Red Sox play, right? And it's 35,000, but they can't come to church, you know? It makes you scratch your head. They got their priorities all wrong in the world. But I'm so thankful for you, you that are here this morning with us in the house of God. And let's open up our hymnals. We'll open up to hymn 63 for our final hymn this morning prior to the message. Let's stand, folks. And good prayer time this morning. Good testimonies. And we thank the Lord for his divine presence in our midst. Without him, we couldn't do anything. Ah, yes. Fanny Crosby, Near the Cross. Gotta love that. Hymn 63. And we're going to sing the first and the last of hymn 63. First and last, people. Near the cross. Where we need to be. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain. Free to all the healing stream. Flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross. In the cross be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond that river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping crossing ever, till I reach that golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond that river. In the cross. Beyond the river. Oh, amen. Please be seated, church. Good singing this morning. Yes, indeed. Stanza that we did not sing was the third. It says, "Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me." In other words, it's a prayer for the Lord to keep the cross before my spiritual eyes, remembering that it was that cross that brought salvation to our hell-bound souls. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Well, let's grab our Bibles at this time, church. And I'd ask you to open up to the little book of Philemon. Philemon. It's in the New Testament. I'll give you that much of a hint. If you find Titus, you'll be real close. If you find the book of Hebrews, you'll be even closer. Philemon. Go to the chapter of your choice. Philemon. Good stuff here. And it's a book that is much overlooked, Philemon, sandwiched in between Titus and Hebrews, of course. That's why I said that. In the letter epistle of Paul to Philemon has an amazing message for the believer today. Just 25 verses, but they are jam-packed full of grace. And what a typology we find here. What a spiritual portrait is painted by the Holy Ghost in this epistle. And Paul, of course, is a type of Christ, a mediator between the sinner and God. And it's just amazing the story of Onesimus, the bondservant of Philemon. He was a slave. He was it was an occupation back in the day. Don't misunderstand. He was a servant of Philemon, Onesimus, and he was not saved. And he stole, just give you background real quick, he stole a bunch of money from his master Philemon. And he went off into the world like and spent it all in riotous living, right? He whooped it up. But Paul met this young man and led him to Jesus Christ. Onesimus got saved. And Onesimus was no longer a thief. He was no longer a bad guy. He was now a true Christian. And that is the story of the book of Philemon. And all through it, we get types. And it's amazing. But I want to call your attention this morning. I want to speak a message to you I've entitled Philemon in Christ. Philemon in Christ. Verse 1, we read, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Beloved, I want to speak to you on Philemon in Christ this morning. Father, how we thank you for the passage of Holy Writ before our eyes this morning. It is incredible. Lord, the truths couched within these few verses are absolutely glorious and divine. Lord, we thank you that you have preserved the book of Philemon as part of the New Testament canon of Scripture. Lord, we thank you that it is the Word of God. And Lord, it is a significant part thereof. And Lord, we just ask you to give us insight and spiritual understanding, Holy Spirit, in these truths today that we may learn about Philemon in Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, in this short epistle, there are no less than 11 references to the Lord Jesus by name. Listen, interestingly, the specific phrase, in Christ Jesus, occurs oftener here than anywhere else in all of Scripture. No less than 8 times we find this phrase in this book, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And Philemon was in Christ Jesus, and he was faithful. Now, all the real hero of this book is not Onesimus, which many people misunderstand. Oh, he got saved. Yeah, he became a Christian, and that's all fine and dandy. But Onesimus, listen to me, Philemon, his master, was the true hero of the book. You're going to see that today. Because Onesimus was a rebellious, runaway, renegade slave. Onesimus wanted to go off and experience the wild, wild world. And he did. But first he stole from his master before he left. He did end up getting saved, yeah. But not before getting himself arrested. Look at verse number 10. Philemon, verse 10. I beseech thee, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. You notice that in verse 10? Onesimus and Paul ended up in the same prison cell. Hey, guess what Paul did? He led him to Christ, of course. And he says, yeah, we were in jail together. And he's writing this letter to Philemon on the behalf of this renegade Onesimus, that they might be reconciled. Now, Philemon remained faithful to the Lord through all this experience of Onesimus. Philemon just stayed, kept on serving God, even though Onesimus left him and departed with a good chunk of change. I want to speak to you this morning on Philemon in Christ, beloved. In doing so, I want to give you 7 things real quick. First, In Christ Jesus, they all begin with in Christ Jesus. In first of all, in Christ Jesus, Philemon found the object of faith and love. Look with me at verse number 5. Paul says to Philemon, I've heard, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Now notice here, in verse number 5, that Paul had heard from some brethren about Philemon's love and faith that he had toward Jesus Christ. You know, when you love the Lord Jesus, people are going to know it. When you have true saving faith, biblical faith, people are going to know it. You know, Paul said in another part, if any man love God, the same is known of him. The same is known of her. People know when you love God. They know you go to that Bible-believing church. They know you carry that King James Bible. They know you put up money in that plate. They know you pray. They know you study the Word. Now, beloved, like every true believer, Philemon made the Son of God his supreme object of faith and love. Verse 5. The second person of the Godhead is to be loved as God superlatively. For he is the Lord, our Maker, our Redeemer, and our Savior King. Now notice also that Philemon put his faith, and the Bible is speaking of saving faith here, not temporal, in the finished work of the blessed Lord Jesus. You see that? Thy faith, Paul said, is in the Lord Jesus Christ, toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, it's clear. Now listen, love to Jesus Christ and faith in him are prime Christian graces found in every true believer. And these will naturally center in the Lord Jesus as the sole supreme object of the believer's heart and soul. Did you hear what I said? I said, like Philemon, you too, child of God, have love and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? I know that's why you're in church this morning. It's not because of me. It's because you love him supremely. And your faith is lock, stock, and barrel in his finished work, as was Philemon's. Flip back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. I am so thankful that the Lord gives saving faith and teaches us to love him supremely. Colossians 1, verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, Colossians, since we heard of your what? Faith in Christ Jesus, there's that phrase again, and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Almost the same wording verbatim as Philemon, verse 5. You see that? The folks over there in Colossae, they had the same faith and love toward Jesus Christ that Philemon had, the same that Paul had, the same that Onesimus developed. Amen? Charles Wesley wrote passionately these incredible words, and I quote, thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. What a hymn of the faith that was. Charles Haddon Spurgeon revealed his life's true secret when he said, and I quote, I looked at him, and he looked at me, and we were one forever. That's Spurgeon. Me and my Lord, we're one forever. Oh, yeah. Every true child of God can say so. Like Philemon, Jesus Christ had become the object of their faith and love. But folks, that's not all. In Christ Jesus, listen carefully, in Christ Jesus, Philemon found the channel through which grace may be received. Look with me at verse number 3. The channel through which grace may be received. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, Philemon. Now drop down to verse 25. Verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister, watch it, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, here we learn that it is through Jesus Christ that we receive the grace of God. Listen, he says, it's given to me to fulfill the word of God. Verse 3. We thank, give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Why? He had received the grace of God. And he says it's through Jesus Christ. That is so clear. Now, folks, listen. Philemon understood that God's grace and strength, which you and I need, could only be received in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood the channel was a person named Jesus and that there was none else available. That's because he's the channel through which God the Father dispenses his amazing grace. Look at verse 25 again. He says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. He dispensed something to Paul, which is given to me for you. What was that? To fulfill the word of God. You know that Paul wrote half of the New Testament? 14 books. He says it was given to me by God. That's grace. Listen, you can't get it by joining a church. You can't get it by getting baptized. You can't get it by penance or stringing beads or going to confession. The only way to get God's grace is through the channel of his son. And Philemon understood this. Flip over to Titus. Titus, chapter number 1. Go to Titus chapter 1. And look with me at verse 4. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace. First thing he prays for Titus, the grace of God. Mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at how we have here grace, mercy, and peace. From God the Father, what's the next word? And the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. You can't have grace, mercy, or peace with God the Father except through Jesus Christ, the Lord, our Savior. You see that in verse 4? So clear. Now back to Philemon. Verse 3 of Philemon. Grace to you. He's praying for Philemon. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25 of Philemon. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Oh yeah, that's what Paul prayed for Philemon, for God's grace to be with him. And folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that that same grace of God is with you today that was with him 2,000 years ago. It hasn't changed. It never will. It's from God through his son. He is the channel. The great John Newton, you know, Amazing Grace. He wrote Amazing Grace. On being asked his opinion on various topics, paused for a moment, and he said, when I was young, I was sure of many things, but there are only two things of which I am now sure of. One is that I am a miserable sinner, and the other is that by divine grace, Jesus Christ is an all-sufficient Savior. By divine grace, he said. He wrote Amazing Grace. Yeah. Newton, like Philemon, knew that Jesus Christ is the only channel through which one may find grace in God's sight. I'm so thankful, folks, that you and I, too, find that grace of God through him. What a great blessing that is. But something else this morning. Thirdly, in Christ Jesus, Philemon found the source of any good found in the believer. Look with me in verse number 6. Verse 6, he's praying for Philemon. That the communication of thy faith, see, we're supposed to communicate our faith to others, may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. Period? No period there. A lot of Christians like to put a period there. Wrong. Look at, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. There it appears again. In Christ Jesus. He says, Philemon, there are good things in you. In Christ Jesus. Now, folks, listen carefully to me. Paul says that Philemon acknowledged the fact that any good thing that could be found in him, and there was a lot, was because of Jesus Christ, not himself. Amen? That means anything I do, Anything I say, anything I think that is good is because of Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory, and not because of me. Anything good in you is because of Jesus in you. You got to get hold of that, Christian. This holier-than-thou crowd, they are out of bounds. They're not holy. They're sinners saved by grace like you and me. The only good thing in them, if they're saved, is Jesus Christ. Anything that I do. Listen, I carry the Bible. Oh, I go to church. I put money in the plate. I was baptized. Whoop-de-doo. It doesn't make you good. The good things in you are found in Jesus Christ in you. You see it? He's in you. And he is that good part of you that will not depart. Matthew chapter 5. Hold your place again in Philemon. And follow me to Matthew's gospel. You know the Sermon on the Mount. But there's a spiritual application to us right here. In Matthew chapter 5. Don't throw it out the window. It's all for us. You know that. Either doctrinally, spiritually, or historically it's for you. Or fourthly, prophetically. But in chapter 5 of Matthew's gospel, look at verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. No, glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Folks, listen to me. Anything good that I do is because of God. Anything bad I do is because of me. Oh, you've got to grab hold of that. Jesus said it this way. When they see you doing good, they're going to glorify my Father and say he caused it in that person. Oh, Clay Cooper, in his bestseller, Nothing to Win But the World. That was, he wrote a book, Nothing to Win But the World. He tells of a church motto proclaiming Jesus only, the church sign, you know. But hanging outside the church steeple, the sign, it was ripped down by the wind. And the tattered and torn sign finally simply read, Us Only. Us only. That's what the sign said after the wind damage. And folks, it's not funny because so many churches today, it's us only. It's us, it's all about me, myself and I. You know? Instead of all about being all about Jesus only. Jesus in you is that good part that will not depart. That's the problem with too many of God's people today. They have eye trouble. I. No, not eye trouble. Eye trouble. But something else Philemon understood, that in Christ Jesus was his good. Something else, fourthly this morning, in Christ Jesus, Philemon found transforming power. Woo! Back to the book of Philemon. Look with me at verse number 10. Don't miss this. In verse number 10, we read, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. He won him to the Lord in prison. Now look at it. Verse number 11. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable. You see that in verse 11? Onesimus was a wretch. He stole from Philemon. He was unprofitable. But now profitable to thee and to me. Folks, time out. This is too good to skim over. When you become saved, you become a profitable citizen of society. You can do great things because God is in you. He says, you're no longer unprofitable. You know what that unprofitable means? Good for nothing. He was a good for nothing. And now he's good for something. He's saved. Look at it. Drop down to verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season. Yeah, he abandoned his master Philemon. Onesimus did. Why? That thou shouldest receive him forever. What in the world does he mean by that? Let's read on. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul says, I want you to see the transforming power of Jesus Christ in that man, Onesimus, that once abandoned you. He was unprofitable. He was a no good, dirty, rotten scoundrel. And now he is very profitable, Philemon, both to thee and to me. Paul says he assisted me in ministry. He's winning souls to Christ. He's profitable. Why? He got saved. Oh, this is so good. In Christ Jesus, he's profitable. Here's the greatest miracle that our God performs. That is, he takes a wicked, sinful, rebellious, uncontrollable person and supernaturally transforms him or her on the inside, so that he or she begins to live a new life, a holy life, a Christ-exalting life that takes the transforming power of God to do. Onesimus was good for nothing. Verse 11, he was unprofitable. But now, I love the words in that verse, but now. It's all different now. He's saved now. He's profitable now. He's a man of God now. Woo! Titus chapter 3. Flip back a page, you'll be there. In Titus chapter 3, look at verse 3. For we ourselves, Paul says, we're also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Boy, that's a boatload of filth right there. That was me, he says. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. If you look at verse 3 and then you look at verse 6, you will see that there being, verse 7, being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to hope of eternal life. He says, I'm not what I once was because of the transforming power of God. He shed his grace on me, Onesimus, abundantly. He made me profitable. He made something out of my life that I could never have made. That's how good he is. Through Jesus Christ, he transformed this man named Onesimus. And Paul says, Philemon, I want you to know he's not the same. Scientists have a special name to describe the incredible transformation that takes place when an ugly, squirming caterpillar becomes a brilliant, beautiful butterfly. It's called metamorphosis, by the way. Metamorphosis is a change of form or shape, a transformation, particularly a change in the outward form of being. Is anybody listening? A change in the outward form of being, as the metamorphosis of an insect from the Aurelia state into a winged creature. Yeah, you can fly now in Jesus Christ. That's what Philemon found in Jesus, a transforming power that made him something he wasn't before. Oh, this is so good. Only in Christ Jesus. But something else in Christ Jesus. Fifthly, in Christ Jesus, Philemon found great boldness. Great boldness. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, Paul says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother Philemon. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul says, Philemon, you now are refreshing the saints. Look at it. Verse number 7. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother Philemon. You know what he had? Philemon had a boldness. Philemon had something he never had before. A boldness in Jesus Christ. Paul mentions it in verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, I won't. See, every true believer gains a boldness when you get saved, because the Holy Spirit coming into you will give you the ability to speak like you haven't spoken before. to act like you haven't acted before, to influence people like you haven't influenced before. Verse 7, the bowels, now that's the biblical way of saying the inward parts, the hearts, the spirits of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Whatever it is you're preaching to them, it's working, the word of God. Oh, that's so good. I'm so thankful. In Jesus our Lord, there exists a holy boldness for every sincere Christian. But this boldness is not a cocky, arrogant, prideful, braggadocious type of boldness. No. This boldness is a Holy Spirit-inspired, a humble one, where you become bold because of the Spirit of God working in and through you, not because of you. You see that? It's a holy boldness. 1 Timothy 3. Flip back to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Oh, yes. We can be much bold in the Lord because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We need not fear what man shall do. In 1 Timothy 3, look at verse 13. For they that have used the office of a deacon, well purchased to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I love that phrase. It's all in Christ Jesus. Great boldness. Not just any old boldness, but a great boldness. Ephesians. Flip back again, and you'll come to the book of Ephesians eventually. And go to chapter 3. Oh, this boldness is seen throughout the New Testament for every true believer. It's available. In Ephesians 3, verse 8, Paul says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach amongst the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Drop down to verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have what? Boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Notice in verse 12 the origin of this boldness. It's in him. Who is in you? We have, notice the present tense, we have this boldness in him by the faith of him. He's faithful. The righteous, Solomon wrote in Proverbs somewhere, the righteous is bold as a lion, but the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. I think it's 27:1. He's saying, you know, you're saved, you've got God, you're not afraid, you're bold. You're bold like a lion. And he says, but the wicked, they're not saved. They don't have the divine hand of God. They flee when there's not even no one coming after them. Why? They're paranoid. They don't have boldness, they have paranoia. When John Knox, one of the great Reformationists, was being tied to the stake to be burned by the Romans, it was said to him, all the world is against you now, John Knox. To which he replied, then I am against all the world. And to this day, the tombstone of John Knox reads thus, and I quote, here lies the man who never feared the face of clay. John Knox. You know why Knox didn't fear man? It was because he feared God. He was bold in Christ Jesus, as was Philemon, as was Onesimus, as was Paul. But something else in Christ Jesus, listen carefully, in Christ Jesus, Philemon found great joy and contentment. Look at verse number 20. Philemon, verse 20. He found great joy and contentment in the Lord. 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Paul is reaching out to Philemon, and he's saying, I know that you have great joy and contentment in the Lord. And he says, let me share in that. Let me have part of that. I want you to encourage me, Philemon. You see it? Verse 20. Drop down to verse 7. For we, Paul says to Philemon again, for we have great joy and consolation. That's comfort, contentment. In thy love. Because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. I can't wait to meet Philemon in heaven. Because this guy could come into a room full of believers who would, oh, what was us? Oh, those problems. And he would just cheer you up, man. He would just get you going in the Lord. He'd probably start singing hymns. He'd start preaching the word. He'd get you all excited. Why? Because he refreshed the saints. And Paul says, give me some of that, Philemon. I want to be refreshed. I want to be encouraged. I want that joy and contentment that you have. Oh, yes, indeed. Now, listen. Because Philemon was joyful and content in the Lord, he was able to make others joyful and content. That's what Paul's saying in verse 20. Beloved, we must learn to reciprocate God's joy and peace and contentment that we receive unto others. Notice verse 20. Notice the words, in the Lord. That it's in the Lord that we have this contentment and joy. It's in the Lord that we may communicate it to others. Oh, I hope someone's listening. God's definition of joy. Jesus first, others second, you last. That's joy. It'll bring great joy when you live that way. Philemon. Oh, Philippians. Go back to the book of Philippians. Just before Colossians. Philippians chapter 4. Look at this. Paul knew what he was talking about when he's talking about Philemon's joy and contentment. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul is simply saying, I've got joy and contentment through Christ who strengthens me. Not from myself, not from brother, sister, so-and-so, but from Jesus Christ. I'm content. Not by my circumstances, but by the presence of Christ. Oh, that's so good. Upon the statue of Joseph Brotherton is engraven this inscription. Joseph Brotherton, the great man of God. A man's riches consist not in the amount of his wealth, but in the fewness of his wants. Brother, to say, you put that on my statue when I'm gone. Those who find joy and contentment in Jesus Christ are truly rich. That's Philemon in Christ. Truly joyful, content, and spiritually rich. But one last thing I want you to see this morning, church, about Philemon in Christ. In Christ Jesus, Philemon found great purpose. If you didn't hear anything else I said today, hear this. Look at verse 1. We read. Back to Philemon, and verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Notice that Philemon didn't sit on the sidelines and applaud the game. He was in it. He was a fellow laborer, too. And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church in thy house. Now, drop way down to verse 21. Paul to Philemon, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. He had confidence in Philemon. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Paul is simply saying here that Philemon had a great purpose in his life. Okay? He was serving God. He was a fellow laborer, a fellow soldier with Paul. He was a faithful man of God. And in verse 22, he says, I am so confident in 21 of your obedience, Philemon, that I want you to prepare me a place. When I come through your town, I'm going to come stay with you. We be brethren, and I am going to... And he says, look what he says. For I trust that through your prayers, I shall be given unto you. He says, I have such confidence in you, in your purpose in life as a servant of God, that you're going to pray for me to be able to visit you, and I will. Wow! What a great purpose Philemon had in Christ Jesus. You know what I think? I thank the Lord for most of all, other than my salvation, is for giving my life true purpose and meaning. I'm so glad that I'm not just existing. I'm living. I'm living a life that Jesus Christ as the central purpose of all that I say or think or do. It's a life full of purpose because Jesus is the center of it. Beloved, Philemon found great purpose in Christ Jesus, and so do you and I. In Christ Jesus, we are made more than conquerors, and we are given great purpose of life. You know, I marvel at the world. They're existing, but they're not living. They're alive, but they're not alive. They're dead spiritually. They have no purpose. They have no direction. They have no purpose in life. It's so sad because Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you a life worth living, an abundant one. Notice Paul's title in verse 1. Paul, a what? Prisoner of Jesus Christ. He says, he has taken captive my whole being and I love it. He's not saying, oh, I'm a prisoner. He's saying, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You see it in verse 1? It was his purpose. It was his purpose. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul is writing from the Mamertine prison in Rome. He's in a dungeon. He's incarcerated. And he says, I'm not the prisoner of Nero. I am the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Folks, we got to get the right perspective. We've got to get the right spiritual sight in our minds, like Paul did. The incredible inventor, Thomas Edison, he was a great Christian too. He accomplished some amazing things in his life. And to say that he was a hard worker would be an understatement. His life had great purpose. The U.S. Patent Office, the patent, you get patents, the patent office and the government, they granted Edison 1,098 patents for his inventions. 122 of them before he was 30 years of age. And on his 75th birthday, he was quoted as saying, work heals the soul and ennobles the spirit. You know what Thomas Edison had? He had great purpose in his life. And so did Philemon. And so did Onesimus. And so did Paul. And so do you. So do you. You have great purpose. You are an intricate part of the chain of God. And he is wanting to work through you like he never has before. Beloved, my message this morning is Philemon in Christ. Oh, beloved, listen to me carefully. In Christ Jesus, Philemon found the object of faith and love. In Christ Jesus, Philemon found the channel through which God's grace flows. In Christ Jesus, Philemon found the source of any good found in us. In Christ Jesus, Philemon found transforming power available to all. In Christ Jesus, Philemon found great boldness. In Christ Jesus, Philemon found great joy and contentment. And in Christ Jesus, Philemon found great purpose. Father in heaven, how we thank you for Philemon in Christ. Lord, how we thank you for the little book entitled Philemon. How we thank you, Lord, that he stands as an hero of the faith, a towering example of what it means to be in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the preservation of this little book. Lord, I thank you that for all that we can learn from it. But particularly, Lord, I love verse 6. It says, the inward parts of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Lord, you know who I believe the most joy-filled, happy people in heaven will be? Those who make people joy-filled and happy here on earth. Those who refresh others. Those who live a sacrificial life. Those who live a life full of meaning and purpose in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I thank you today that these truths that Philemon held are all available to every one of us today. All we have to do is seek your face and realize who we are in Christ Jesus, as Philemon did. Thank you, Lord, that the book closes without ever saying if Philemon received Onesimus back. whether or not they were reconciled. And Lord, I believe that simply because we know they were. From the writings within the epistle, we know Philemon received Onesimus with great joy. And the Bible says, not just now, but forever in the Lord. Thank you for that this morning, Lord. Help us to learn to love one another as these first century saints did. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll stand for an invitation. And I'd ask you to open up to hymn 358 this morning. We'll stand and we'll sing for 358. Perhaps you need a touch from the Lord this morning, like Onesimus did. And this altar is open for you. It's always open, because the Lord's arms are always open to you in this church. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that is the channel of grace to human beings. More love to thee. 358, we'll sing all three. Praise the Lord, people. Get the right tune, choir.
Love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knees. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee.
Amen. Before we sing on the second, every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, I pray. I feel there may be one, there may be some here this morning with a heavy heart. There may be some here carrying a burden this morning. There may be some here with a load on their shoulders. By an uplifted hand, you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I see that hand. I see that hand. Amen. And I see that hand. Put them down. Lord, I thank you for these uplifted hands. And I thank you, dear Lord, that whatever the need might be, Jesus Christ is here at this altar. Jesus Christ is standing in front of this pulpit with his arms wide open saying, come to me, come to me, lay it on my shoulders and I will hold thee up. On the second, if you need the altar, on the second, let's sing.
Once earthly joy I crave, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee.
Standing for prayer. So good to have you in God's house this morning. Father, how we thank you for a good service today. Lord, thank you for your presence in our midst. And Lord, I want to thank you for encouraging your people this morning.
I thank you, Lord, that you're able to do what no man can do. You're able to reach deep down inside the heart of hearts, and you're able to bring encouragement, peace, comfort, and joy. And Lord, we're so thankful for the way you work and move and operate through this little church in Hooksett, New Hampshire. We're so grateful, Lord, that we serve the true and living God. We serve Jesus Christ, Savior, King, Messiah of the world. We just ask you this morning to bless us, Lord, as we're dismissed, as we go our ways. Lord, help us to be Philemons. Help us to be Philemons in Christ. Because, Lord, in Christ Jesus lies our every need and our every blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for who you are and for encouraging us this morning. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Tonight at 6 we'll meet, if you're able,